following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Well, I was going to do this just a little bit later, but it seems to me that it'll fit better right here. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back out, and we're going to interview the worship team tonight. And let me tell you why. It has to do with our study. If you open your Bible to Psalm 147. And look at the very first verse with me while these guys all file up here and take a seat. And they're going to use this mic right here. You guys have to be kind and share, okay? Jeremy, can you do that?
Not with Bobby.
Okay. Well, Bobby's got the mic now. And here's where our song tonight starts, Psalm 147. The very first verse, if you have it there, open it up and read it with me, please. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. Now, we do it a lot. We praise, we worship, and we could spend a whole session talking about the difference biblically between praise and worship, but we're going to roll them into one ball tonight, praise and worship, just for the sake of our conversation here. And I want to talk to these guys about praise and worship. You guys have been, all of you have been on worship teams for a long time, and I want you guys, I'm going to sit over here, and I want you guys to talk about the impact of praise on your personal life. So how does praising God, worshiping Him, whether it's with a group like this or at home alone, how does that impact you? How has it, maybe there's a story from your past, we haven't rehearsed this, can you see the blank stares, the deer in the headlight looks for all six of them? So how has it impacted you? What part does that play in your life? Just let's talk about this for a while.
Oh, I'm first. All right. I always make fun of people who do this too, who like put the mic way down here. Anyway, sorry. I honestly feel that worship, in as far as in my life, is almost like a responsibility almost, in a sense that we are indebted to Christ and to God for His goodness, and I feel that worship is like the least we can do in terms of just thanking Him and just giving praise to Him and pouring out our hearts. And there's lots of different songs, and the lyrics are beautiful and they mean a lot of different things. But I think at least for me, the heart of it is just being so thankful and seeing where I've come from and you know the things I've done and how God's grace is just abundant in that. And it's like, this is it. This is the least I can do, is just praise You. And even if we don't feel worthy, you know, it's just like, He's worthy. And that's why we worship.
Amen. So it's a starting point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next, anybody else?
Next. Oh, sure.
Amber?
Hi.
Bobby, Amber.
Bobby, Amber. For me, like worship, like I started going to church and getting involved in junior high when Dan Ross, for any of you who remember him, he was a junior high pastor, and his wife, Leslie, and they took us on a mission trip to Mexico, just serving people down there. We went to an orphanage, and we went to, like an old people's home. We fixed up stuff there, but we had one night.
How old is old, by the way? We can talk about that later. Go ahead.
Okay. And we had, they said, oh, tonight after service, we're going to have an afterglow. And I was like, what's an afterglow? I don't know what that is. And they're like, just time of worship after the study, like an extended time of worship, which we're going to be having. And I remember, like, before that, like, I never realized, like, God died. God sent His Son to die for me. And I remember, like, I don't know, 11, 12, 7th grade, whatever age that is. I just was weeping when Dan Ross, who, you know, it was just him and his guitar, and he's a pastor. It wasn't like there was a great band and the bass was like pumping in your chest. And like, it wasn't like that. It was just like, we're in an upper room. It was hot. We were all smelly. And like, he's singing, the nails in your hand, the nails in your feet, they tell me how much you love me, and the thorns on your brow, they tell me how you bore so much pain to love me. And that's where it hit me. And I was like, I was just weeping and I didn't even know what hit me. And I was like broken because I never had made it. It had never been real to me. So I feel like that's my salvation experience, and it happened through a time of worship.
Wow. So, yeah. When you approached Him, praise. Jeremy.
Worship. Oh. Yes, welcome tonight. How are you? Sounded great. Anyway. That's going to be our extended time of worship this evening. We are going to be doing a jazzy set, aren't we? For those of you who... No? All right, sorry. Anyway, worship for me. Lately, I've been the first one up in my house every morning, and it's been awesome because I've got two kids that are incredibly loud. So the only time that I get... I love them. Don't get me wrong. I love them with all my heart, and I love the noises and all that most of the time that they're making. But lately, I've been the first one up, and it's been an awesome chance for me to pick up my guitar, sit down at the table, and just start singing. And I'm not writing anything. I'm no Shannon, but she writes good songs. Anyway, there's one song that's consistently been coming back to me, and it's one that we do here. It's I Will Worship You, the Aaron Gillespie song. You know, when I'm losing, when I'm broken, when I'm feeling ashamed, when I'm feeling, you know, awful about myself, I'm still going to worship you. And those are the times where for me, when I am feeling ashamed and broken and dead and all that, those are the times that bring me back. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of that song, it says, when I'm dancing, when I'm hopeful, all of that, and it's worship again. So there's the crying out, and then there's the thanking all together, all in one. And for me, the personal time of getting to praise God by myself is great. And then there was one time, three of us up here, we got to go to the school of worship together. Justin, Amber, and myself, we all got to go. And we all had to lead, a couple of songs? Two songs before. And the first time I really understood, I forget the song, but the first time I understood this certain song was when this one girl that was very shaky on the guitar, very shaky on her vocals, went up and she started leading worship. And it was the best time, most filling time of worship for me, because I didn't really pay attention to the musicianship or anything. I was listening to the words, and the words, like Bobby said, the words in a lot of these songs are just, you know, hard-hitting and truthful, you know? Yeah. I've gone too long. I'm a lot like my dad.
Oh!
Kidding, I'm kidding.
Shit.
He didn't mean that. That's my brother, by the way. Just in case you all were wondering why he complimented me. Get some points. sorry. I feel like I'm on Oprah right now. I'm just saying that. I'm just going to say. What was the question?
Let me ask you this question.
Make sure I have it
Let me
clear
ask you this
concise.
Question. We can broaden this out.
All right.
Is it ever hard for you?
That's
funny. Praise ever something that's difficult to enter into for you, mm-hmm. but you do it anyway?
Right. I would say, I'm going to tag on to that question as well. Praise for me is along the same lines of what Bobby said. It's like, I don't want to say it's the least I can do, although yes, but I can't help it. Praise should be something that if we truly understand what we have been given and what we've been given in exchange for, what we have given God and gotten back, what on earth is wrong with me if I can't praise God? Yeah. Right? I mean, who here has been saved? Who saved, looks yeah. at the past and goes, oh my goodness, thank God I'm not that way anymore. Yeah. Do you think about people in your past and go, oh, I'm so sad that that person knew me that way. Mm. I wish they could know me now. Mm. I wish they could see me how I am now. Not because I get to say I'm awesome now, but because I get to say, look what God has done.
Amen.
And when I say, look what God has done, how can I not praise him? How can I not sing out to him? How can I not raise my hands? And I just never want to waste an opportunity to worship him. Mm-hmm. When I'm not up here leading worship, I'm down there leading worship mm-hmm. in whatever way I can. Sometimes I'm standing, sometimes I'm kneeling, sometimes I want to be on my face because I need him so much. And it absolutely is hard sometimes. It's hard. I don't want to say just to get up here. Yes, of course, that's difficult. You're in front of people. I get notes in my box complaining, and that's not fun. I'm just going to say that. Because you know what? We're all called to something. Yeah. But I understand, and it's okay, and I'm fine with the notes. I'm sorry. But what I want to say is it can be hard. Absolutely. How many people have had a really difficult time worshiping the Lord?
Oh, yeah.
Be honest. Who in here has had a hard time worshiping the Lord? I have. I've stood up here and had a hard time worshiping the Lord sometimes. And sometimes I have to do it because it's what I have to do. But in the process, what does God do? He changes your heart. He makes you realize, he speaks to your heart when you offer it up to him and say, God, I don't see you. Where are you? Show me. Not in a disrespectful way, like, you're not even here, God, whatever. All those promises are just bunk, whatever. You know what I mean? No, you're coming before him and you're saying, I trust you. I believe it. Help me see it. Mm-hmm. There's a small group that meets that I have every Thursday. And we've talked before about how sometimes you have to claim it and say, God has good for me. God has good for me. God has good for me, until you believe it. And when you believe that and you proclaim that, even when you're not feeling it, because feelings are lame, they throw us all over the place. But when we proclaim it and say it, God changes our hearts. Yeah. And he turns our sacrifice of praise into true praise, where we're truly worshiping him and saying, absolutely, God, I remember now. I remember why I've come before you and praised you. So definitely obedience.
Is it more the difficulty of the trial you're in the middle of, or the disposition of your heart that makes it difficult?
Well, I think they're connected in a way, because I think the trials we go through, and sometimes we're not even going through a trial, right? Aren't you sometimes just tired? Sometimes mm-hmm. it's all you can do to like drag your feet and get in the door, right? I just want to be real. Like, I'm like that sometimes too. It's all I can do to get here. But when I begin to, for me, sing, and if that's not your gift, that's okay. God has another way for you to worship him. And you know what? He loves it all. It doesn't matter what it sounds like. You don't have to be up here on stage. But I think that they're connected, because I think sometimes the trials we go through put us in this weird funk that like we can't shake and we can't get out of. And you guys ever, have you ever gotten to a point where you're like, oh, well, I should pray. Duh. And then you pray or you sing and you're like, oh, Lord, forgive me that it took me so long. Because you realize I could have come here first and given him my praise and given him my sacrifice, and he would have reminded me sooner. So,
amen.
Anyway.
Yes, Luke.
Okay.
Which one? Talk about praise. Your personal experience worship, with praise, with worship. What's it do in you? Okay. What happens to you? What changes in you as you praise God?
Well, to me, worship is more like it's an honor, and it's so like amazing. Like I'm praising, I'm worshiping like the God who made the universe, and it's just like, wow.
There should be a lot of wow.
Yeah, a lot of worship, isn't there?
Yeah.
But growing up, worship was always just like music before the pastor talks. But I guess that changed for me about 2 years ago at a summer camp. It was before a study, and we were singing a song that went, take my heart and make it yours, everything for your kingdom cause. Hmm. And it just hit me there, just like, wow. There goes the wow. That.
Yeah.
What can I say? Like, it's him.
Yeah.
And
so it was something just about that.
Yeah.
That lyric that was like a.
It just kind of penetrated right in.
Razor to the heart.
Just blew up. But yeah, I guess.
Did you say it blew up?
It just blew up in me.
I like that. Yeah.
It's also like pumping, because like as you said, like bad days can get you, and you're just like feeling down. And I'll just turn on a song, The Fish or something, and a song will be on. She's like, wow, I feel so energized.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Amen. It's just an honor.
Right on. Justin, also known as Jackson. What? It's a personal thing. Justin.
Same question?
Yeah.
All right. Worship for me has been kind of a evolving thing, I guess, if I can use that term. I've gone through cycles of, let me start off with, I've been involved with worship teams since I was in late junior high, high school. And I've followed worship leaders that have, been doing it right, worship leaders that have been doing it wrong, and led myself. And I think sometimes I get into a funk where I'm just there playing the music. You know, sometimes I'm just there as a musician because it's the fun thing to do on Wednesday night or it's the fun thing to do on Thursday night. And I would go through cycles where I would realize what I was doing, the responsibility that I truly had, and the God I was really worshiping, and the magnitude of it all. I think one time it hit me, and I realized, should I even be on this stage worshiping right now? Should I be leading the congregation in worship? And it kind of broke me. I was like, I don't even know if I'm worthy of this. And he really showed me that, you know, even through my brokenness, even through my feeling of a lack of worth, that he is worthy.
Amen.
He is worthy of praise. And I've got a gift, and Shannon needs a guitar player, and, you know, I just get to praise him with a skill. And I don't know if you've read the verse yet or if you will, but just to play skillfully under the Lord. And, you know, like these guys have said, it's an honor and it's a blessing to be able to be a part of a worship team like this. And not even that, you know, just to be able to sit in a congregation and just pour my heart out through song, through melody, through just everything that God has given us. Mm-hmm. You know, music and song and lyrics and poetry and all these things that God has just given us, all these tools to just really express our love and our gratitude and just to sing the praises of his grace and his mercy.
I think it's an important distinction, too, that those songs are tools. They're just words until somehow connected to our hearts and lifted to God. Powerful tools. I don't think there's anything necessarily holy about those words themselves, except the ones obviously that come out of Scripture. But when I take those, and like you said, you use them as a tool that you wrap your heart around that. And let me ask you guys this, last question. You don't all have to answer, but is there one song or one portion of a song that lyric just grabbed you? You talked about it. What were the lyrics again, Luke, on that one?
Take my heart and make it yours, everything for your kingdom cause.
Yeah. Say that again a little bit louder.
Take my heart and make it yours, everything for your kingdom cause.
Yeah. Somebody else. What's another lyric that just, maybe it's one currently that just is grabbing you?
If I were to say one that, sorry, Jess, I'm the loud one. If I were to say one that has encompassed like my journey with the Lord, and every time I hear, even though I have to be honest, I'm tired of playing it, but I will say the lyrics of He Loves Us, How He Loves Us. Oh my gosh. Took me through the most difficult time of my entire life.
Yeah. How many of you would say that there's something about that song, simplicity of it? Oh, how he loves us, how he loves us.
Amen. Just the simplicity of like how he loves us. Yeah. And I mean, the verses are awesome too. The pictures that it draws and the imagery is awesome. But just the simple fact of he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Mm-hmm. Just, I mean, it still gets me sometimes just to think about that, because that's why he did everything. Yeah. That's why we have anything.
Amen.
So.
Anybody else? A line, a portion of a song that really grabbed you?
One portion of the same writer, John Mark McMillan, the line is, glory to one, God's murdered son who paid for my resurrection. Uh-huh. The imagery that, again, that you see. It's nothing, you know, all bright and crispy about that. It's the truth that he's
real.
Given his entire life for us to live.
Amen.
Glory to one, God's murdered son who paid for my resurrection.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? You guys got a lyric that grabbed you?
The one that we were just, You were just talking about air. Yeah, I will worship you. That one is just, if you guys listen to the lyrics, the first half of it is basically when you're going through just really rough times that you will still worship God. And I've sang that song in the middle of those times where those lyrics have just broke me, just absolutely. I was crying out and, you know, I still will worship you even when I feel absolutely terrible, when I feel alone. And everything like that. And then on the reverse side, where I've seen like the victorious side, where I've had a good day and I've had great times in the Lord, where chains are broken, healings come in, and your forgiveness floods my heart. This is my brand new start. And those are lyrics where I just like I'm screaming them. It's like both sides I'm screaming, because I'm screaming one in despair and I'm screaming one in victory. and that song just, I mean, it encapsulates every part. Yeah. Of our life, you know, good and bad times, and that the concrete thing that still is there is that we still will worship him no matter what.
How many of you have ever had that experience where literally, like Bobby was saying, you're shouting out those words? Typically, it's best if you're alone. You know, if you're in your car or you're out in the woods or something like that. How many of you have had that where it just was like shouting, almost screaming, but top of your lungs? I remember one of those too where I've told the story many, many times about the night where Starlin was lost. And it was the next day coming down the mountain. I was listening to a worship CD from Hillsong, and it was a song about the goodness of God. And I was weeping coming down the 55 and screaming that out at the top of my lungs about the goodness of God. And whoo, yeah. Anybody else? One more lyric. Go over. Jackson. I mean, Justin.
There's this song that we have done, Luke and I and his brother Zach.
Just the lyric quickly.
It's called Search My Heart.
Okay.
It's Search My Heart and Search My Soul is the very beginning of this. It's the first line. And that one was like, God, come in and look at the way I am.
Ooh.
You know, search my soul. And Zach texted me this. It's Psalms 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting.
Amen. Zach just now texted that to you?
Yeah, he texted me that yesterday.
Oh, okay. Monday. I thought he was in here somewhere and texting in church.
No.
That's okay. That's awesome.
I've been meditating on those lyrics and that verse, and it hit me.
All right, hard. Thank you guys. Thank these guys for sharing their hearts with us tonight. That was great, man. Thank you. Good job. And open up your Bible to Psalm 147 if you've closed it up. And let's take. We are going to have an extended time of worship tonight as we close. But I want to get into this with you. Psalm 147. Father, I pray now as we open up the scriptures, that your spirit would make this ancient song come alive to us. Thank you, Father, for pouring these words of truth through this songwriter, this psalmist, Lord. And may we more than listen and take notes, but Father, may it penetrate our hearts as well. These great, great words in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Here we go. We are on... Here it comes. Wait for it. Yahweh, he's everywhere. Psalm 147. Last week, I said something to you as we were ending. Go ahead and stand up for a second. You need to stretch. Okay. Turn to somebody, smile at them, give them a 2-second compliment about their hair or their beard or something, and then have a seat. Okay. Stretched out, go ahead, have a seat. If I didn't do that, I'd only get 10 more minutes out of you, and I need at least 12. Last week, as we closed, you can sit down now. Last week, as we closed, I said to you about this habit of praise. Just do it. Just do it. Establish that habit. Make praise a healthy habit. What I kind of ran out of time, which, as my son so graciously pointed out, sometimes I have trouble with the time element. But what I failed to remind you of is, please don't make praise a mindless autopilot habit. When I say habit, it's really more of a discipline, a routine, a wonderful routine in our life. I guess you'd say like a heartfelt habit. When it comes to praise, you could put it this way, keep it real. No lip syncing, Beyonce. Thank you. No, I mean, sing it. I mean, sing it from the heart. I mean, no matter how cold it is outside, belt it out. Do it, though. Make praise something that's worked into your life, just like the routine and the habit and the rhythm of eating. Most of us didn't miss a meal today or in the last week or so. And I don't mind eating. I kind of enjoy eating. It's a wonderful habit that I have. So make sure that it's a heartfelt habit. Let me ask you, how are you doing on that habit since last week? Have we been boasting in Jesus, giving him praise? Have there been times, like the guy said in the band tonight, where it's obviously and honestly, it's hard. It's hard sometimes to break the old habits. What would be the opposite of a habit of praise and worship? Give me some words that would be the opposite. What? Complaining and grumbling. How many of you have ever wrestled with that kind of habit? You walk in the house, you walk in the store, and you look at, well, that's wrong. That's out of place. I wouldn't use that color. There's dust on this shelf. No, you would never do that, would you? But complaining and grumbling, cynicism. I mean, it's just, it becomes a habit with us where we've just got something to say to knock anything. I think on the other side are the habits of neglect. It becomes a routine that I never say anything to God. I don't break my silence when it comes to prayer or rejoicing or praise or distraction. And that's where, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and ladies, you'll be getting to this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, read with me here. It says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Read this last part real strong. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Praise is one of those ways to undistract ourselves, to bring those thoughts captive and say, it's time, 1,000 times a day, to bless God. I loved how the guy said it because, my goodness, it makes sense. Because he's so worthy. And this psalm, I think, will help us break some of those old silent habits and help us to establish new habits of praise and worship. Look what Charles Spurgeon said about this song. Charles Spurgeon lived back in the late 1800s. I think he lived into the early 1900s as well, but he said, this is a remarkable song. He was from England. This is a remarkable song, and in it the greatness and condescending goodness of the Lord are celebrated. Let it be studied with joyful gratitude. Everybody say gratitude and enunciate all the T's. Gratitude. It should be studied with joyful gratitude. Now, I kind of agree. When we look at this song, it's just, it's so expansive in what it covers, especially in the context of the five songs that we find it in. It just nails it. Who is worthy to be praised? Who we cry out to and why we do for all that he does. Yesterday morning, before I came in to the office, I turned on the television and looked to see if there was anything on the inauguration from the day before, you know, on the morning news shows. And I think it's the first time I've actually sat down and watched C-SPAN. And on C-SPAN, they were showing the inaugural prayer service. And oh my goodness, the inaugural prayer service was filled with about three different Muslims, a Sikh, and all kinds of confusion, just confusion. The most beautiful part of the whole prayer service was when that whole congregation, including our president and the first lady and Governor Biden's, not governor, Vice President Biden's wife, Joe didn't sing, but they all sang out, "Be thou my vision." And the gospel came through in that song. It was really the only time in the whole, you know, part that I got to listen to where it really came through. Powerful. But there was a lot of confusion. And confusion reigns in our culture today, in our nation. It was 4 years ago that our president got up and said, we are not a Christian nation. He reminded us at his first inauguration, we are not a Christian nation. And then demonstrated that in the inaugural prayer service. There was a young man, a pastor from Atlanta, Louis Giglio, who was on the docket for the inauguration ceremony to pray the benediction. And when somebody, after they heard about 2 days before the inauguration, they heard what Louis stands for. He was sort of the founder of the Passion Movement, powerful, powerful, real revival movement among young people. When they found out that he was a very conservative evangelical Christian, the invitation was rescinded. They didn't want him up there. And so we live in a confused time, but I want to talk today, tonight, for a little bit, and I'm not sure if we'll even get done with this psalm tonight. It might really be, and I agree with what Spurgeon said, it's too good to rush through it, so we may actually take 2 weeks to do this psalm. But I want to talk about something that's been showing up in all of these psalms, and it's the name of God. You don't see it as the name of God. Look at Psalm 146. Praise the, what's it say? Lord. Psalm 147, the beginning. Praise the, well, there it is. Psalm 148, praise the, 49, praise the Lord, 50, praise the Lord, over and over again. 8 times in this psalm tonight, you're going to see the word Lord with all capital letters. I want to show you this. What about that name? It's more than a title there. When you see the name Lord in the Old Testament, all capital letters with obviously the first one a little bit bigger. Here's what's behind that word. It's a name behind that word. When you see Lord, what's behind it are 4 Hebrew letters. Now these are, you know, more English letters that help us to sort of pronounce the Hebrew letters. These are the Hebrew letters, and their Hebrew reads from right to left. And what you have, 4 letters, you have Yod, Het, Wah, and Het. Now here's the deal with Hebrew. There are some Hebrew texts where the vowels are inserted, or the vowel indicators are inserted. But there aren't any letters that are vowels in Hebrew. And so mostly Hebrew is written without any vowels. Well, that's because they understand what the word is. But when it came to the name of God, and this happened when the Jews were coming back from captivity, they'd come to the point where they believed that the name of God, whatever was represented in the Yod, Het, Wah, and Het, they believed that it was too holy for you and I to pronounce. And still today, when you read some Jewish literature written in English, you'll see G-D, because even the word God is revered by a Jew who's serious about his faith. So, YHWH, what does it mean? How should it be pronounced? How should we now take the name of God and pronounce it in English? Well, nobody knows for sure. Here's one guess. Jehovah. Has anybody here ever heard the name Jehovah before? The E, the O, the A are just guesses on what vowels might have been between those 4 Hebrew consonants. Another good guess, and the one that I kind of prefer, is Yahweh. Yahweh. But still, it's just a guess. So when a Jehovah Witness might come to your door and want to talk to you about the name of God, you guys don't use the name of God. We believe the name of God is important. Here's where I go with them. I want them to know that I believe, because of Scripture, that there is another name that is above every other name. I'm going to show you a couple of verses in a minute. It's the name Jesus. But here's the deal. When you say Jesus, what have you said? You've said Yahweh Shua, as it would translate back into the Hebrew. You've said Jehovah saves. That's what Yahweh Shua, when it comes together, it's the Hebrew name Joshua. It's the Greek word, Greek name Jesus. They mean the same thing. So when you're reading along and you see Lord like that, you're coming close to pronouncing, or at least acknowledging, this is the God I'm talking about. The one true living God. Let me see if I can find this. Here it is. Yesterday at the inaugural service, there was an imam, Muslim imam, who got up, and I guess it was back in the middle of the cathedral, and he did the call to prayer, the Islamic call to prayer. It wasn't translated in the service. I think had it been translated in the service, there would have been some squirming, And here's what he declared, I think, more than once. Allah is the greatest. I bear witness that there is no deity but Allah. I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Come to prayer, come to your good. Allah is the greatest. There is no deity but Allah. And then he stood there and looked very uncomfortable, almost like, is somebody going to hit me for saying this? And then it moved to another part of the service. Look at these verses. As we're talking about what you say when you say the name Jesus, Acts chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Read this with me. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. What was the name? It's the name Jesus. Here in Philippians chapter 2, read this with me. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. There's still one name that saves. When we call on the name and when we read through these beautiful psalms, what we're reading over, don't quickly read past that word, Lord, when you see it in all capital letters. It's identifying the God of heaven, the present one, Yahweh, who saves, and Yahweh who provides, and Yahweh who sets you free, and Yahweh who opens your eyes. Use that name. Use the name Yahweh or Jehovah if you prefer. They're really both just good guesses. But use the name of God and understand when you're talking to him, you're not just addressing a title, but a God who is very, very present. Amen? Okay, look at Psalm 147. It carries this beautiful theme. It's kind of this detailed, thoughtful invitation to praise God for absolutely everything. Look at where he begins. Praise the Lord, for it's good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. He starts with this call to praise and then four or three more good reasons to open your mouth and praise him. And here's what he says. Praise is good and praise is pleasant and praise is beautiful. That's why we should praise him. Jot down this reference. Psalm 33:1, 33:1, and 92:1. In both of those, it says somewhat the same thing about praise being just something that fits for us. It's fitting. It means it was cut out just for you. You ever put on a coat, you grabbed it off the rack, and it's like, wow, this is perfect. Praise is perfect for you. It's perfect. It fits you. It's good to sing praises to God. He said, the songwriter, whoever they are, says it's pleasant. That word is also translated, it's delightful, it's sweet, it's lovely. How many of you have ever felt that when you came in and you joined into the song of the church and it was just like, this is sweet, this is lovely, this is beautiful. And then the third thing, it fits me, it's becoming to me. That's one of the translations of this word. It's becoming. Now, gentlemen, I hope there's been one time or another where you've looked at your wife and something that she put on. She said, how do you like this? She said, that's very becoming to you. Or it looks beautiful on you. That's what this idea means. It's just fitting. It's wonderful. It looks right. Psalm 33 puts it like this. Praise looks beautiful on the upright in heart. You see, when praise is on my lips and darkness is in my heart, it's a very different thing. Then that praise just becomes like, ugh. Because it's not beautiful to God if my heart isn't directed towards him, even if it's like Shannon was saying and Jeremy, in the darkest of days, that I say to you, God, I don't understand this. And you know the things I wrestle with, but I still give you the praise that you deserve. And I ask you, God, to transform me. Well, the singer then takes off, and I mean, buckle up. It's the longest of the five Hallel, the daily Hallel songs for beginning your day and ending your day, just blessing him. It's kind of a ballad through life's categories and gives us more reasons to bless him. Look at verse 2. He's going to talk about God's heart for Israel, and this comes up several times in this beautiful psalm. He says, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. That's why we'll praise him. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. There's something about this song that reminds me not to make another Beyonce reference, but it reminds me of a national anthem. Three times a songwriter is going to talk about the goodness of God to our land. It's like, my country, tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. He says, God, you've been so good to our country. You build up Jerusalem. You gather together the outcasts of Israel. Makes me wonder when this song was written, possibly after he had brought them back from captivity. But he says, there's another reason that I will bless you, Lord. You lift up the broken. And he moves on to this beautiful scene now in verses 3-6, where, get ready, he's going to go from the depths, the crevices of life where broken people are, to the heights. I mean, the heights. Look at it. Follow along with me. Verse 3. Who's the he? It's Yahweh. He heals the brokenhearted. Anybody need that? Yeah, I need that. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. Anybody need that? Woundedness. He counts the number of the stars. He's down in the depths with us, healing the brokenhearted and lifting up the broken and binding up their wounds. And then immediately he's way out in the universe. He's counting stars and he calls them all by name. I mean, that's moving, isn't it? To go from here in the darkness of life that we all experience from time to time, out in the stretches of the universe, counting stars and saying, I'm going to give, you're not just a number, you're a name. I'm going to call you Sparky and you're Lucinda. And he just starts giving names to all the stars. It wasn't enough that anything in God's universe, I don't think anything has just a number. Everything seems to have a name. God puts identity on everything. None of us are just a number to him. Follow along with me. Verse 5, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble and he casts the wicked down to the ground. He is all over the map now. Now he's back down here on earth. He's been in those cracks and crevices and the pits that we dig ourselves into, and he's been up in the heavens, and he's lifting up these broken, and he's counting stars. And just this such a beautiful song. I can't wait to hear how it was meant to be sung, what kind of melody was behind this. But move on with me to verse 7. And now he's going to say here, talk about how God makes everything work, and that's another reason to praise him. He says, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God. He says, sing, use your voice, but grab an instrument too. Grab a guitar, grab a harp, anything to make beautiful noise to God, who covers the heavens with clouds, prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens their cry. Look at him walk through the categories of life. And here in verses 7-9, he's saying, come on, sing, everybody. Sing to Yahweh. He's the one that controls the weather. He's the one that brings the precipitation out of those clouds. He's the one that provides, he says, your groceries and your wardrobe. He gives you everything. So he says, come on, lift up your voice and sing. And then he tells us in verse 10 and 11 what really impresses God. Follow me here. He doesn't delight in the strength of a horse. A strong horse, no big deal to God. This next part sounds strange till you understand what he means. He takes no pleasures in the legs of a man. That sounds weird to me. He takes no pleasures in the legs of a man or of a woman. The idea here is that's the strongest part of your body. Those are your strongest muscles. You use them every day, everywhere you go. And he says, God isn't impressed with your strength. He's not impressed with the strength of animals. What does impress him? Verse 11, the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, and those who hope in his mercy. That's what blesses God. Not your strength, look what I can do, God. But the man, the woman, the young person that says, God, I will trust you. I will fear you. I will honor you. I will respect you, Lord. I'll obey you. Does it impress God that that Saturn stays in its orbit? It's set in its orbit. It makes no decisions on its orbit. What impresses God is when you make a decision to follow him. What blesses God is when you say, Lord, I surrender to you, because you don't have to. You and I are not preset to obey God. But when you do, like I can't remember who was talking about it, when that verse got their heart, and Amber were talking about That moment she said, I think that's when I got saved. That so blessed the heart of God. It just thrilled his heart when we say, God, I'm done with the foolishness and I will respond to you. I'll fear you and I will put my hope in you. That blesses the heart of your Father in heaven. It goes on, verse 12, and it says, so praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. We're back in the national anthem part of it. For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. You have strong gates. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders. And he fills you with the finest wheat, Ezekiel bread. He gives you the best bread. He gives you the whole grains. He gives you sustenance. He feeds you well. He blesses your children. He says, look at the city. I'm the one that gives you security. I'm the one that gives you peace and joy in your family life. I'm the one that fills your pantry. I'm the one that nourishes you. In verse 15 to 20, notice the times he says word, 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 word. Follow with me. We're probably going to come back to this next week because we need to spend more time, but I want to at least sing the whole. You got to see the whole song tonight, right? We can't sing half a song and ask you to come back. He sends, and by the way, speaking of singing, the worship team, you guys please come back up. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word, there it is again, and melts them, the cold. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. And he declares his word to Jacob. This gets back to the nation. These are the people of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel, and he has not dealt thus with any nation. And as for his judgments, they, the other nations, they have not known them. He says, praise the Lord. He said, what other nation is there like our nation? A nation to whom God has spoken. A nation to whom God has articulated his truth. The writer looks around and says, who has been given this? He's spoken and created. He's spoken and instructed us. He speaks and he heals us. His word, it breaks the timbers. His word, it humbles us and brings us to the place of obedience. Beautiful, beautiful psalm. This songwriter just reveling in the fact that Yahweh is everywhere. I can't escape him. He's in the heavens. He's here. He climbs down into the dust with me. And tonight, as we're closing, I just want to remind you that he's here tonight to heal the broken. We're going to officially close the service, but we're going to stay and worship for a while. And if you need to allow the Lord just to minister more deeply to you tonight, let him do it. Let him do it. It sounds odd for me to say this, but one of my favorite lyrics is in a song that I wrote. And I know that sounds egotistical, but let me explain to you. Because it came out of a real time in my life. I couldn't do anything except write this. And it says in the song, Lord, do a deep work in my heart and take me out beyond the shallows. I don't want to live in the shallows, do you? I don't want to live behind a veil. And I find myself saying that and singing that to God a lot. I don't think it's a great song, but it's the words were I think, just an invitation from God to me. Let's ask him to take us deeper and understand his hand in every area, every single area of my life. If there's a way back to our first love, I think it's this, you know, where it says, go back and do the first works. What were the first works for you? I don't know what they were for you, but the very first thing I did as a believer was praise God. Walked into a group of young people and I heard their worship. And before I prayed the prayer, I was giving God praise from my lips. So maybe that's the way back. Maybe that's the real point of dynamic change, to loose our tongues and lift our voice. I say, praise you, God. Praise is good. It's beautiful. It fits you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.